Welcome to the Riverside Church podcast. We hope today's message encourages you and strengthens your walk with God. Enjoy the message.
Well, tonight we're going to be reading from the book of Acts. If you want to stand to your feet with me, we're going to get right into it. We're going to be reading the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 26, and this is what it says. Any Bibles in the house? Can I see the Bibles? Where they at? Look, come on. Come on. Give it up for the Bibles. Man, a ton of them. A ton of them. I love the real physical Bibles. Our phones are great as well. I forgot my Bible. I did forget it. It's in the office. I was supposed to bring it. But we're so grateful that you brought your Bible with you tonight. Hey, Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 26. If you don't have your Bible, it's on the screen as well. This is what it says. Once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that her hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews. And are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." Just a pause right there. Actually, if you continue to read this specific scripture, you find out that Paul had Roman citizenship. So already the enemy was throwing a lie at them. He was persecuting them for something that wasn't true. And it says, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Good luck. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas had some crazy faith. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Come on, you ever prayed in prison before? You ever prayed in the middle of a storm? You ever prayed when people around you were wondering, how on earth are you going to church? How on earth are you still standing? How on earth can you keep moving forward? They're praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all of the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Come on, can we give Jesus a chain-breaking shout of praise? At once, the chains came loose. Tonight, I'm going to be preaching from the title, Joy from Jail. Joy from jail. Quick question. Anybody ever been to jail before? I'm just kidding. Yep, we're good. I was wondering if anyone would be ready. We're honest in church. I love it. I was just kidding. We're not judging. We love you. I'm just kidding. Hey, let's pray. God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you that we can openly worship you. King Jesus, we want you to have your way in this service. God, I pray right now that I get out of the way so you can make your way. God, we thank you that your word is living and breathing and moving. We thank you that your spirit will begin to break the yoke. Your anointing will break the yoke tonight. And we thank you that we can walk out carrying joy in Jesus' name. Come on, if you receive it, can you shout amen? You can have a seat. I love what Pastor Caleb said on Sunday. He said, if you feel like hearing it like I feel like preaching it, we're going to have a good time. There's a big difference between joy and happiness, right? But what's funny is a lot of believers actually get these two words mixed up. And before we go into depth of what this joy that God has given us is, I think it's very important that you and I understand what it's not. So what the difference between happiness and joy is this. I love what Pastor Caleb said on Sunday. He said, happiness is based off of what is happening around you. Happiness is circumstantial. If you walked into work tomorrow and your boss walked up to you and said, hey, you can go on vacation and I'm giving you a raise. That's happiness. Come on. Somebody receive it right now. Miss Cassandra, receive it right now. Come on. That's happiness. All right, for example, if I got home tonight and I walked into my kitchen and Pastor Allison made a fresh batch of chocolate chip cookies and there's a big glass of milk waiting for me, can we just hold hands and agree right now, right now? Thank you, Jesus. Believe it before I see it. That's happiness. Now, happiness is based off of your circumstance, but joy is a decision in spite of your circumstance. Happiness is based off of what's going on around you, but joy is a choice. Like Pastor, I'm going to be mentioning Pastor Caleb a lot. That message Sunday was fire, y'all. Go back and watch it if you haven't. If you're on right now, go watch that message again if you're watching on YouTube. Go back and watch it after this one. But Pastor Joy, Caleb is Pastor Joy. Come on, he's so happy all the time. Man, I love Pastor Caleb. Pastor Caleb said on Sunday, it is your choice to rejoice. Joy is our job. You see, it's a choice to sing praise and worship when you're facing pain. It's a choice to come to church when you're experiencing heartache. It's a choice to trust God when it doesn't make sense. But the result is joy. You see, joy is our job, but it's also our choice. You see, if we can learn from anything in this scripture that we just read in Acts chapter 16, it's that Paul and Silas give us the perfect example of how to choose joy in the middle of absolute chaos, in the middle of absolute mayhem. We actually learn on Sunday that Paul, the apostle, wrote to these exact same group of people that had just arrested him, the place of Philippi, that he wrote the book of Philippians with this moment in mind. That Paul actually wrote the book of Philippians, which is known as the book of joy. Thinking of this moment, the same place where they threw him in prison, he is found writing the book of joy 10 to 13 years later. When he has every reason to complain, to hold resentment, to be angry at these people, he's encouraging them. You see, this is what it looks like to walk in the life as a believer, to understand the gift and the fruit of the Spirit that God has given us. These aren't things that can just happen by waking up in the morning and going on in your day. These are the things that happen to you and I as we deliberately choose to walk pursuing the King, walking pursuing righteousness. You see, we look back in Acts 16. Let's help paint a better picture of what exactly is happening to him in Philippi. Verse 22 says this: the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was in Austin, Texas, and I was asked to come preach the gospel, I would understand if I was arrested for maybe saying something they disagreed with. But if I was arrested and the crowd I was trying to help and preach the gospel to jumped in, stripped me down, and beat me with rods, I would not be writing them the book of joy. I would probably be writing them the book of pressing of charges. This is the difference between Paul and us, and if we can reflect on anything, I can say I am grateful Paul had to go through some stuff, because it makes my life not look nearly as bad as being stripped down in front of a group of people. You are trying to push forward the very beginning of the first church 50 years after Jesus is gone, and you get beaten and thrown in prison and lied about. And yet he chooses to give them joy. Paul actually writes in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, the very first chapter of the book of Philippians, he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. My goodness. How many of us have been betrayed, backstabbed, taken advantage of? Straight up heartbroken, and we choose not to forgive. We choose not to walk in joy, because what that really is doing, that's not really hurting them, it's only hurting ourselves. Imagine if Paul wouldn't have forgiven them. We wouldn't have the book of Philippians. We wouldn't have the book of joy. We wouldn't have these scriptures we find in the New Testament. But he was so focused on his purpose that God put within him, he wasn't shaken by the people who persecuted him. He was so consumed with who God had called him to be and who the God was inside of him, he wasn't shaken by the very people who persecuted him. You see, sometimes it's not just our circumstance that keeps us from joy. It's our focus. It's not just our circumstance is one thing. We talked about that. But sometimes it's our focus. It's what we choose to weigh in on. It's what we choose to remember. It's what we choose not to forgive. Those are the things that are robbing and keeping us from living a joyful life. And just to get a little bit practical, we can be distracted by what someone else is doing, possibly not even hurting us, and we lose focus on what God is trying to do through us. We can be so focused on what other people are doing that we never truly have joy for ourselves. Talk to me, Facebook. Talk to me, Instagram. Talk to me, TikTok. Talk to me, social media that is in our face, having us look at every single person, every single highlight reel, every single vacation, every single new home, every single new thing. And it is doing one or two things. It's either robbing your joy or it's distracting you. We have to understand that keeping our focus on other people or the wrong things are simply distracting us from joy. We hear it all the time. Comparison is the thief of joy. If you can't get on social media without having a sour taste in your mouth, don't get on social media. Come on. I'm with you. There's days, there's weeks. I'm like, I just can't get on right now. I love my friends. I love the people I follow, but I just need a break for me. And we have way too many Christian critics going and commenting and talking bad about other believers because they're focused on the wrong thing. We have too many people talking bad and shaming other people because their focus is off. But if they were focused on what God was trying to do in them, maybe they wouldn't talk about them, they would pray about them. It's a focus. What are you focused on? If you can't get on social media, I read it, maybe the Lord wanted me to say it again, I just said it. If you can't get on social media without a sour taste in your mouth, don't do it. All right. But we see this in Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. They were focused. Paul and Silas had every reason to be focused on what had just happened. We just cast a demon out of this girl. We're trying to tell people that Jesus is the Messiah. We're trying to help this place. But they chose to have a different focus. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 says, about midnight, that same exact day as the beating, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Wounds on their backs, shackles on their feet, and they were focused on Jesus. Stuck in the bottom of a prison, betrayed by people they were trying to help, and they were still focused on Jesus. Every reason to be bitter, every reason to feel defeated, every reason to feel heartbroken, and they are found singing hymns to God. This is the moment in the service where I really wish I could sing. There's guys like, you know, Torrin Wells and Stephen Furtick who can just let it rip right in the middle of a message. That's not this guy. We don't want that to happen. They had every reason to be bitter, but they focused on what God, or they focused on God. You see, I believe Paul and Silas were able to have this type of worship experience, not because of the worship leaders in the room, not because they had the perfect Riverside Soaking playlist playing in the background, not because they had all the lights, the cameras, and they were feeling good enough, but because they decided to have a focus on King Jesus. They decided to change their focus. They decided to say, hey, this may be happening around me. This may be my circumstance. This may be what's going on, but I know a God who makes a way where there is no way. I know a God who put the purpose inside of me to push forward the gospel. I know the God inside of me isn't limited to my circumstance. He can actually move in spite of my circumstance. Paul and Silas knew what they had to focus on. Their worship wasn't circumstantial. Their worship was a choice before it was even a feeling. It was a decision before it was groundbreaking. My first point tonight is your joy is a focus before it's a feeling. Your joy is your focus before it's a feeling. What has your focus? You know, you can pray and still be focused on the problem, right? But I think it's time that you and I stop telling God how big our problems are and start telling our problems how big our God is. Come on, can we stop going to God and saying, God, this, I'm done. But start saying, hey, this may be happening around me, but have you met Jesus Christ, the King and Savior of the world? Have you met my Lord? He's made a way in the past. He's going to make a way in the future. My focus is so fixated on God. I don't need my circumstance to change. My heart is already set on him. I want to focus on him until my circumstance matches my heart. Well, I feel bound by debt. I feel bound by this addiction. I feel bound by this depression. I understand. But are you going to let your chains break your praise? Or are you going to let your praise break your chains? Come on, anybody have to praise God in the middle of a situation that didn't make any sense? We could have every reason why to choose why not to praise God. I'd rather choose God. I don't even know what to pray. But I know if I focus enough on you, you can change everything around me. But even if you don't, you've been so good to me already. I put my focus on you in the middle of a storm. I'm going to let my praise break my chains. And even if they don't break, I'm going to praise until they do. I'm going to praise until something changes. I'm going to praise until something breaks. I'm going to praise until someone around me gets free. I'm going to praise God when it doesn't make sense. I'm going to praise God when it does. I'm going to praise God when the bank account is high. I'm going to praise him when I'm praying for a paycheck. I'm going to praise God in the middle of any situation. Come on, can we give Jesus a shout of praise like you need a breakthrough? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You see, God hears your problems, but can he see your faith? He hears your prayer request, But what are you choosing to do after you walk out of the prayer closet? He sees, he hears your prayer requests, but can he see our posture after? Paul and Silas in prison, backs beaten, feet shackled, singing hymns. Paul and Silas, bound in the dirtiest, stinkiest, most secured part of the prison. The lowest of the low, lied about for doing good, beaten by the people they were trying to help. But I heard it said by another pastor that I think they made one mistake with Paul and Silas in prison. It wasn't the shackles on their feet. It wasn't the prison guard on the outside. It was putting two of them together. Because who knows, when you show up to a place with another believer, you best believe that my faith is building. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. All I need is someone with me who can believe in the God that I believe, and we can see miracles take place. We can see the impossible happen. We can see God move with the right people. I don't know who this is for. This isn't in my notes, but you need to do a circle check of who's in your circle. Are they building you up? Are they bringing you closer to God? Are they praying for your prayer request? Or are they secretly hoping you don't do so well? You see, we hear it all the time. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Where you're going is dictated by who you're around. Paul and Silas sitting in a prison cell, but they had each other. Focused on God, singing hymns in the middle of a prison. I don't know about you, but when I wake up in the morning, it's hard for me to pray before I have breakfast. That's impressive faith. Ask my wife. I'm like the Snickers commercial. You won't like me when I'm hungry. I'm not me when I'm hungry, and it's a problem. Ask my wife. But yet they understood the power of focusing on God. They knew the God they just saw deliver a demon-possessed girl is the same God that could deliver them from prison. They knew if they focused on the God they had just seen perform a miracle, all they had to do is focus on him, and he would do the same thing for him. We need to keep receipts of what God has been doing to us. I love what Pastor Caleb said on Sunday that his dad says all the time. You need to have a file of faith. You need to remember, hey, when God stepped in for your marriage. Hey, when God stepped in for your kids. When God stepped in and turned it around when no one else could turn it around. You need to have a file remembering, God, I'm not supposed to be in church on a Wednesday night. I was in the clubs 2 years ago. But God will show up when you remember where you came from. When your back's against the wall and your faith is being tested, you and I need to remember what God has done. They remembered. It doesn't say that in the Bible. That's just my belief. I believe they remembered. Didn't Jesus just free this demon-possessed girl? Come on. Let's start singing. How great. We don't want it. I'm telling you, you don't want it. We don't want it. Everybody would walk out before the altar call. Hey. Pastor Haley, that was good. Yeah, thank you for your encouragement. No, just kidding. You see, sometimes your joy is dependent on you taking your eyes off of right now and putting your eyes on back when. God, back when I didn't even know you, you somehow were making a way for me. God, when I wasn't pursuing you, you were pursuing me. God, when I was far from you, you started drawing near to me. God, if you did it for me back then, who were you to leave me? The Bible says he will never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says that Jesus sticks closer than a brother. The Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie. God is waiting to move. But what has our focus? Is it God? Is it what he's done? Or is it the obstacle? Is it the prison? Is it what you're chained to? Is it the circumstance? You see, can we trust God in His plan over our own? Can you ask God to come into your situation even when it feels like a prison? Can you ask God to come into this marriage when it seems to be on the rocks? Can you ask God to show up when you don't even want to be in the current area you're in? You see, we can see from Paul and Silas that, you know, we don't know this for sure, but I think that Paul and Silas weren't begging God to break them out. But instead, they were inviting His presence into the prison. They were saying, God, we welcome You in. We make room for You to move. God, I don't care where I'm in. I may lay my bed in hell and You are there. I invite You in. They invited the presence of God into a prison cell. My next point tonight is before God breaks you out, He might want you to break Him in. We oftentimes ask God to get us out. God, get me out of this situation. God, get me out of this job. God, get me out of this town. God, get me out of this relationship. How many times do we miss out on what God is trying to do in that situation? God might be wanting to move in the middle of what you're considering a prison. God might be wanting to change the situation around you. Let's look at Acts 16, verses 27 through 30. This is what it continued to go on. After the ground is broken, the doors have swung open. They're completely free. Every jailer in the place has been freed. And this is what it says in verse 27. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here. We are all here." If the doors are open, why are you still in the jail? If the shackles have been broken, why are you still in the jail? I believe he wasn't trying to get out as bad as he was trying to get God in. Verse 29 says, the jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Come on. Who's in your situation that needs to be saved by Jesus, but you're trying to get Jesus out? You're trying to get you out. Jesus might be trying to get in through you and have purpose in the jail. You can have joy in jail. You can have purpose in prison. You can have God moving in any circumstance. When you say, God, I'm not so focused on me and my goals, but I'm focused on what You want to do in me. God, have Your way. Have your life for my life. Have Your will for my life. Instead of saying, God, get me out, what if we started saying, God, will You come in? God, will You come into my marriage? God, will You come into my family? God, will You show up in Victoria? God, will You show up in my parents' house that I should have moved out of 10 years ago? God, will You show up in the places I don't even want to be in? I'm not speaking for myself. I just wanted to make sure that was clear. I don't want to get out of Victoria. I love it here. Maybe God wants to be in that place with you. Maybe God wants to be in that marriage that feels like it's falling apart. Can you put your focus on Him even when it feels like a prison? Even when you feel like you're being limited? You feel, God, I have so much more to do. You put so many great plans on my heart. God, You're using them. You're using them. What about me? God is saying, I'm trying to use you. Would you focus on me and not everything happen around you? Would you fix your focus? Would you focus on me and you'll start walking in a joy that you'll be able to feel? You see, God wants us to invite Him in before He gets us out. God might want to get you out, but He first might want to come in to what you're walking through. Worship team, you can come up and join me. My last last point tonight is this. Worship is your secret weapon. Paul and Silas didn't have circumstantial worship. They didn't need to feel it. They chose it. They didn't need to feel the goosebumps. They didn't need to wonder if the worship team was going to sing their favorite song. They didn't need to wonder if everything was going to be right in the room. They didn't need to wonder if someone took their seat at Riverside. They didn't need to wonder what was going on. They said, I'm not focused on what's happening around me. I'm going to choose to worship anyway. And that same worship and prayer is what broke them out of prison. That's the same worship that broke them out of prison. They didn't need to feel it. They chose it. Joy isn't a feeling, it's a choice. Joy is a choice. Maybe you don't feel joy tonight. Will you choose it? Will you decide to walk in it? Man, Pastor Josh, you don't know what I'm going through. It's hard to pay bills right now. I understand. I know what that's like. But I also know what it's like to walk through that without Jesus. And I know what that's like to walk through that with Jesus. And can I tell you, when you choose him, he may not pay on Friday, but he always pays on time. God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. When you put him first, Pastor Caleb just said it. Matthew 6:33, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom. God, I want your will to be done in my life, as on earth as it is in heaven. God, I focus on you. And when you begin to walk in this posture of Jesus before you, and not distracted by this person and that person, because all that's doing is distracting you. You're not moving forward when you're looking left and you're looking right. But when you say, Jesus, you're my focus. Jesus, everything around me is crazy. I can't even walk right now. I feel like my feet are in shackles. I feel addicted. I feel bound. But I'm going to focus on you. When you start focusing on Jesus, he makes a way where there is no way. And you start running into things that you thought you needed. You start running into the right relationships. You start running into the right church. You start running into the right job. You start running into the right spouse. Why? Because you're pursuing Jesus. And he said, I have it all laid out for you. Will you choose to focus on me? And then you will see, I will add all these things unto you. Can you stand to your feet with me tonight? If we're going to rejoice, it's our choice. If we're going to walk in joy, it's our job. But we have to choose to walk in this joy. Joy is available for every person. But are we choosing to say, God, I know there's a lot going on in my life, but I'm going to choose to focus on you. The result is joy. The result is the fruit of the Spirit. Peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. When you pursue him, everything else starts working itself out. Now, I don't want to preach this gospel and you think as soon as you walk out of here, all I got to do is focus on Jesus tonight and everything will make sense. And that's not what I'm saying. You got to daily choose to focus on him. It's called walking by faith, not standing in faith, walking. He wants us to pursue him. I want to pray for you. Can you close your head and bow your eyes? Can you bow your heads and close your eyes? I'm the youth pastor, guys. Don't tell Pastor Bobby. Lord, we thank you right now that you're filling your church with true joy. God, I thank you right now for the person who walked in here feeling defeated by life, feeling beat up by people, feeling lost and anxious. God, I thank you right now. Tonight is their breakthrough night. Tonight is the night that they walk out experiencing a joy that is supernatural. Tonight is the night that they walk out knowing that they have rewards in righteousness. Tonight is the night that they accept true freedom. If you haven't given your life to Jesus in your own personal way, just begin to say, Jesus, I welcome you into my life. I make you Lord and Savior. I believe you hung on the cross. I believe you are the Son of God, and I believe you rose again for my sake. You put my sin on the cross so I can choose eternity. If that's your prayer, the Bible says, believe and you shall be saved. We thank you, Jesus, for healing, for moving. God's not done. He wants us to focus on him. Can we worship King Jesus tonight? Can we put our full focus on him? Can we put all the distractions to the side? Don't worry about who's on your left, who's on your right. Focus on the King, and he has something to give you. Let's worship King Jesus together.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe and share it with a friend. For more information about who we are, visit RiversideChurchTX.com.